Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And Hoops is where we will start tonight, of course. We'll get into that David Ortiz stuff that I teased coming up at the end of Red Sox Review. But really, I've been chomping at the bit here since my last time on the air last Thursday. It's been a long weekend. Things haven't gone the Celtics' way, starting with Toronto winning the championship. Let's face it, last year we sat here, there were plenty of stories, plenty of rumors that the Celtics could potentially be in on Kawhi Leonard, and the Celtics were unwilling to give up even a guy like Jaylen Brown as the centerpiece of a package for Kawhi, because Kawhi was full of question marks. Was he going to play? And if he did play, would he come back healthy and be the guy that he used to be, the guy that had won the finals MVP when the Spurs won the championship? Could he be that guy again after missing all of the previous season? And was it worth potentially bringing in Kawhi Leonard for only 1 year? I'll tell you what, if he leaves Toronto, it was still worth it for them. There was no question in anybody's mind in Toronto right now if 1 year of Kawhi Leonard was worth it. So that really got things off to a bad start for the Celtics this week, and it simply did not get better from there. Of course, the overwhelming cloud that has hung over this franchise since going back to the playoffs has been Kyrie Irving, his future, his desires, what the hell went wrong with the Kyrie Irving relationship, and could it be repaired? I felt like most optimistic media members, most optimistic Celtics fans still felt that because the Celtics could pay him the most, that he would most likely find a way to suck it up and come back here, especially if the plan was to trade the young players that he seemingly had a problem with, get them out of town, ship them out of here, and bring in that veteran piece in Anthony Davis and, you know, contend, quote-unquote contend, from there. Of course, Anthony Davis, not only does he not get traded to the Celtics, he gets traded to the Lakers. And, you know, the Celtics' number one rival, now they're ready seemingly to compete for championships once again in a matter of a year. They've been able to bring in LeBron James and now trade for Anthony Davis. And while it isn't fair, and it is not fair, when you look at what that team did and you look at how they've rebuilt their team, is it fair that in a year they're able to do this because guys want to play there? No, it's not. You know, the Celtics are at a disadvantage, but they're at a disadvantage with plenty of other teams in the NBA. And it requires smarter maneuvering and deal-making by those teams to contend. It simply does. The Toronto Raptors don't have the same advantage that the Los Angeles Lakers have, but they were still able to build a championship team. And while they may not be able to build a dynasty because Kawhi may very well leave, they were able to win a championship and able to take what was a nice little team, as Glenn Ordway would call it, a nice little team, and transform that team into a world champion. And it's amazing what happens when you're able to bring in a guy of Kawhi Leonard's caliber.
Well, when you see him, tell him I got a housewarming gift. Tell him I love him. It's a plan for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plan.
It's a Kawhi plan.
It's a Kawhi cactus.
You know, you got to love the Canadians, and I thought that they were the nicest people on planet Earth. That was the last place I would have expected a shooting today. You got, you know, millions of nice people out there celebrating their first championship, and somebody's out there with a gun. It was the last place I would have expected
some
that.
Pissed off hockey fan for not making the Stanley Cup Finals.
They hate the NBA. But, you know, they're able to get to then acquire players at the deadline and potentially, you know, buy out guys like a Jeremy Lin or like a Marc Gasol. These guys make a difference. They make a difference on a team that's trying to compete to win a championship. Their quality NBA players, and they're able to bring them in for next to nothing because at that point in time, they're competing for a championship. They did a very good job building that team, and even if it's just for 1 year, the question is for Celtics fans tonight at 617-779-7937, is that worth it? Would you guys rather have seen the Celtics trade away? Make no mistake about it, would have cost a premium for the Celtics. Whether it's fair or not, it would have taken Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, multiple draft picks, including that Memphis pick that could be very, very valuable in a year or two. Next year, it's top six protected. The year after that, it is no protections. And Memphis is certainly going in the right direction if they want that pick to be high. They are. So that could be a very valuable pick. Were you ready to give up the potential future of this franchise? Not only the future stars, I guess you want to call them, in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You ready to give those guys up, as well as the potential to draft new stars, when you give a haul of draft picks away to New Orleans for a guy who's openly said he's not interested in sticking around? Are we really that confident after the Kyrie Irving experiment that guys will just fall in love with this city the way that Ray Allen did, the way that Kevin Garnett did, that the way that Isaiah Thomas did? Because apparently there is a select group of players out there in the NBA that want nothing to do with this city. And for all of the inroads that the Celtics have made, going back to the beginning of the Big Three era, with Ray Allen really connecting with the fans here, Kevin Garnett having that connection with the fans, and of course the connection that Paul Pierce had, moving on to the connection that Isaiah Thomas had, they made all these inroads. Then they're able to go out and get themselves a top-tier free agent in Al Horford and another one in Gordon Hayward. And next thing you know, the Celtics, who previously couldn't get a free agent to come here for all the money in the world, they're suddenly a destination franchise for free agents. And one guy gets traded for in Kyrie Irving, and suddenly that whole aura goes away. Because all of a sudden, the Celtics went from a year ago right now as the perennial favorites in the Eastern Conference, and not only the favorites to win the Eastern Conference that last year, but the favorites to contend in the conference for a handful of years to come, now that LeBron James was out of the East. That's what we thought. That's what everybody thought. Not only that, you had a select group of NBA pundits that believed that the Celtics could compete with Golden State last year going into the season. Imagine all that optimism. It was real. It was here. And that momentum was propelling the Celtics rebuild at a rapid pace. And here we are 1 year later, a disappointing year on the court, a disappointing year off the court. And it seems like what took years to build has been pissed away in a matter of months. And while I don't think it's fair, it is life in the NBA. And I got to know where the blame lies in the minds of the fans, because without the fans, none of this matters, right? And I feel like if you go on social media right now, you still have a select group of fans that is reluctant to put any blame on the shoulders of Kyrie Irving, and I don't get it. Kyrie Irving, in my opinion, really, really screwed the Boston Celtics. You can like him as a player. I think he's a magician with the basketball. I do. But his public refusal to stand by the Boston Celtics, his unwillingness to live up to his promise to the Celtics and to Celtics fans, and the way that he checked out in the playoffs and refused to accept any responsibility, all of those things combined ruined any opportunity that the Celtics had at acquiring Anthony Davis. How is that Danny Ainge's fault? Now, maybe you can blame Danny Ainge because he put the keys to the kingdom in the hands of the wrong guy. But Danny did everything right. He made every correct move. He put the Celtics in a situation where financially they could bring in AD. He put themselves in a situation where they had the right assets to acquire AD. And it took the Celtics years to put themselves in that position, with Anthony Davis always being the potential prize. So you tell me. Was Danny Ainge's fatal flaw putting the keys to the kingdom in the hands of Kyrie Irving? Was Danny Ainge's fatal flaw trusting a guy that apparently you can't trust? Because beyond that, I'm not sure where you want to put the blame when it comes to Danny Ainge. I really don't, because there is a group of fans that I heard Adam Jones on the other station tonight on my drive in here talking about, oh, I would trade them all for 1 year of Anthony Davis. Would you really? Is Anthony Davis really the guy that you trade everybody for 1 year of AD? Would he come here and have the same impact that Kawhi had for 1 year? Would he be that guy? Because I don't think there's any guarantee that Anthony Davis would even play a game here. He could fake an injury. When your dad is out there telling people, I don't want to play in Boston, when your agent is out there saying, hey, if they trade for him, they trade for him, but don't blame me, he doesn't want to play there. And today the stories come out from Rich Paul that he never wanted to play a single game here in Boston. Can you imagine the backlash that Danny Ainge would have faced if he traded away Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and multiple first-round picks for a guy that never played a game here? Because, after all, they warned the Celtics. Rich Paul told the Celtics, Anthony Davis' dad told the Celtics, if the Celtics wanted to be ignorant and believe that they had the best city, the best offering, and they could convince this guy that seemingly didn't want to be convinced, was it all worth it? That was a real possibility that he was going to sit out the season, because why would he want to jeopardize his future going into free agency, a free agency period where he's going to max out around $200 million? Why would he jeopardize that playing for a franchise that he never wanted to play for? Why would he jeopardize all that money and jeopardize a potential injury playing for a team that he said out loud, his agent said out loud, I am not interested in going there? Yet there is a group of fans and a group of media members that are intent on skinning Danny Ainge and blaming Danny Ainge for not pulling the trigger on a deal that would have undone the last half a dozen years of work by Danny Ainge. Now, is this team going to take a step back? Probably. But I'm not ready to say that they're absolutely going to take a step back. And let me preface that. I didn't believe that they were a championship team last year. I said that before the season started. I'd never really bought into that kind of hype. I thought they were going to be very good. I thought they were going to contend to be a top two team in the East, and I thought they would get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I said that on opening night last year. Go back and play the tape. I was never a championship guy. So the year before, the Celtics win 60 games. They go to game 7. Do I believe that everybody played above their heads? I do. And do I believe that that's a true measuring stick of what this team can be with just the kids? No, I don't. I don't necessarily buy into that. But last year's Celtics team with Kyrie Irving won 49 games. You mean to tell me 49 is out of reach for this group of guys? You mean to tell me 49 is not attainable for this group of guys? Because I can give you a scenario in which this team comes back and they come back very, very strong. Now, do they win a championship with this team? Absolutely not. They are missing that transformative superstar. So here we are once again, the Boston Celtics needing that transformative star. And no, Bradley Beal is not that guy either. It's a shame, but that's what's left on the market. So why do we sit here, though, and want to bury and fire and blame Danny Ainge when it was Kyrie Irving that screwed over this franchise and screwed over the fan base? It was Kyrie Irving that came out and publicly said that he wanted to stay here. Nobody forced a gun to his head to say that. It was Kyrie Irving, who I'm sure Danny Ainge talked to last offseason and said, hey, the plan is to get Anthony Davis. Kyrie knew that, and he knowingly sabotaged it. So you tell me, what makes Danny Ainge the bad guy in this scenario when Kyrie Irving couldn't take the heat? Kyrie Irving couldn't stand a little bit of backlash. Kyrie Irving couldn't stand up and accept any responsibility for this team having a bad year. Kyrie Irving accepted no responsibility for having 4 historically terrible consecutive games in the postseason that hadn't happened in 50 years for a guy of his caliber. How is that Danny Ainge's fault? Unless you want to blame Danny Ainge for not completely understanding the character of Kyrie Irving. Because had he understood the type of person that he was dealing with, maybe he wouldn't have been so quick to turn the keys to the kingdom over to a guy that was so ready, able, and willing to screw this franchise over and screw them over for the foreseeable future. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. When we come back, we'll get to all your phone calls here, trying to figure out where this blame should be. Because there's no going back in time. The Anthony Davis deal that we've talked about for years, it's now done. He's not coming. He's gone. And it's because of one guy and one guy only. And he's that a-hole point guard that a select group of Celtics fans really are desperate to get on your knees and beg for him back in Kyrie Irving. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is late night right here on Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops, unpacking what's been a horrific, worst-case scenario string of events for the Celtics over the last 5 days or so. The guy they could have had last year but didn't want to trade Jaylen Brown for is the report, and Kawhi Leonard, he goes to Toronto. And he's worth everything he was traded for, getting the Toronto Raptors to the finals and eventually to win their first championship in franchise history. And now if he leaves the franchise, is it a jerk move? Yeah, but at least he leaves with having earned that championship. And I feel like it's absolutely worth it in that scenario. The Celtics not looking good there. Then, of course, they go into the weekend. And the Kyrie stuff continues to get uglier and uglier and uglier. The Anthony Davis trade happens. And now we're learning that Anthony Davis didn't even want to play not a single game for the Boston Celtics, when just a year ago, Anthony Davis was always the coveted prize. The Celtics were the hottest franchise in the NBA. 60-win seasons were being predicted for the foreseeable future, and it seemed like the sky was the limit for the potential of this group. And just 1 year later, Kyrie, he's got 1.5 feet out the door. Anthony Davis publicly saying he didn't even want to play a single game for the Celtics. And it seems like their choices now are few and far between because of the ramifications of Kyrie Irving's decision-making here. Make no mistake about it, Kyrie Irving needs to take a huge majority of this blame because he knew the weight of his decision. He knew that without it being willing to stick around, the Anthony Davis work that Danny Ainge had done for the last 4 or 5 years to position this franchise to be put into a position to get him, to acquire him through the right financial situation, the right assets, the right tradability of their players, all of that goes out the window because without Kyrie here, AD ain't coming. Right, the other part of this where Kyrie really screws things up for the Celtics is cap-wise, and Kyrie knows this as well. He said he was going to stick around because he knew just how important he was to this team's cap. Because in the NBA, you get punished when you lose your stars. And out goes Kyrie Irving and his $21 million that he earned last year. That number goes away. But because the Celtics are over the cap and because of the NBA salary cap ramifications, they can't go and spend that $21 million elsewhere. So you lose the player and you lose the money, and there's nothing that you can do about it. And fans are still out there reluctant to blame Kyrie Irving and eager to blame Danny Ainge, and quite frankly, I don't get it. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. Let's get to your phone calls. Let's go to Taylor. Taylor's in New Hampshire. Taylor, you're first up here on WEEI.
How's it going? I feel bad because you're my second favorite next to Ken Laird at the station. You're like the second best, but I'm going to have to eviscerate. I mean, it is zero Kyrie Irving's fault.
Why?
Zero. So if you break up that blame pie, and it's a sweet potato pie at a picnic, there's maybe 2.5 pieces taken out of that pie. If the 3 people who bit into that pie were like, that pie is no good, no one's going to go there. No free agents have come here. Why? Because of the fans and the media.
Taylor, slow down. I'm going to have this conversation with you. But in the last 3 years, 2 of the top 4 free agents have come here. And Al Horford and Gordon Hayward.
2 of the 4 top. And what are they doing right now? That's what I'm saying. The pie. The pieces of the pie.
So
Kyrie ate a half a piece and didn't like it either. Those 3 guys were like, nah, don't eat that pie. And that person's taking that pie home.
Isn't Kyrie the chef, though? Isn't he the cook as the best player, as the leader?
The pie is Boston. The pie is Boston. Free agents have come here. Why?
I just told you 2 free agents that came here.
Al Horford dipped his toe in this pool. He said, come on over. He was the first one in how long? 20 years?
And what happened the next year?
You know. And then what happened now? So the fans went on Kyrie like crazy.
That's not
the media. Every single word, every quote, you're wrong. Every single thing. They blew out of proportion. They over exaggerated. They looked into everything. If you're trying to date someone, if you're trying to court someone, you have to do like the lady did with Kraft. You have to say polished or wax. Not, oh, excuse me, what did you say? What is this comment? Like, every single thing was read into over and over. Why the heck would anyone want to play here?
So let me ask you a question, Taylor. Do you think
they don't want to deal with
what do you think is going to happen, Taylor? What do you think is going to happen when Kyrie goes to New York?
So that's the good point right there. This is what we need to realize as Boston fans. We are not New York. We are not L.A. People do not want to come here. So if we're jerks on top of that for no reason, this guy played his butt off last year. They were good. And comes in this year and says, I want to sign. And immediately he just gets hit every single day. Like, that stinks. No one wants to live like that.
So I got to tell you, Kyle, I got to tell you, though,
what you're doing.
You're missing three.
Nobody. And the proof is in the pudding, though.
Taylor, right you're missing now, four. You're missing 4 months.
Free agent.
You're missing.
Where's he at now?
Well, hold on. You're missing 4 months. You're missing 4 months because he said that in October.
Where?
And things didn't go haywire until February. The media kissed his ass.
It was February.
It was February. It was Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl weekend in New York.
Ask Rich Keith, what date did he call LeBron?
That was February.
That was in January, right?
It was February when he...
It was the next day.
February 4th. Let me finish. It's my damn show, Taylor. The next day he was in New York. It was the New York media that lit this freaking fire. Okay?
No, I'm right.
You're talking over me.
Okay,
My name's on the damn show, Taylor, not yours.
Al Horford's a star?
Al Horford was a max level player. If more than one team is willing to,
you're saying that's great. That holds up over the whole history of the Celtics.
No, I'm telling you, in recent history, they've acquired 2 of the top 4 free agents in the last 3 years. That's what I'm telling
and
you.
What are we doing with them?
And the entire...
You just said how the night ended in one day, it's over. Why?
Because Kyrie Irving. Because Kyrie Irving is a bitch. That's why. Kyrie Irving is a baby. And it's people like you that really make me sick because, you know, you start the call by complimenting me, right? So if you're going to compliment me, you're going to like what I say now. Because if you like me, it's because I tell the truth. Kyrie Irving is incapable of taking the heat. And because of that, things spiral out of control. And because he speaks in this mystery language, because he thinks he's the smartest person on earth. He's one of these people as well. He doesn't give a straight answer. These problems compound because what he's doing is he's inviting more questions and more questions and more questions. He could have put this thing to bed months ago. He could have put it to bed a long time ago, and it didn't have to go like this. But I tell you what, forgetting all the off-the-court stuff, because I can live with the BS of these NBA superstars and divas. Unfortunately, it comes with part of the cost of being an NBA fan. It does. There's nothing we can do about it. If you're going to want to watch this league and you know, embrace these players, unfortunately, you have to learn to deal with guys like this. It just comes as part of the product, right? So I can live with that. What I can't live with is my star player, my franchise player, the guy that you give the keys to the kingdom to, going into the playoffs and playing four consecutive historically bad games and taking zero accountability for it. Zero. And then in the post-game press conference, telling the media that he's looking forward to watching the team that just dismissed him and beat his ass in the next round of the playoffs. He should have been embarrassed. He should have been hungry to want to come back and prove everybody wrong. But instead, what did he do? And not for nothing, you know, he's the guy that had no friends on this roster. He's the guy that did nothing to endear himself to his other teammates. And still, that didn't have to matter because he knew more than anybody else. He and Danny Ainge, they knew the biggest secret that had gotten out in the entire franchise was that this offseason, none of those guys that he didn't like, none of those lesser players, none of the younger guys were coming back next year. All he had to do was stick around and keep his mouth shut for a couple of weeks, and his guy AD was going to be here, and the future that Danny Ainge had set forth for this franchise was going to be born. But because Kyrie Irving couldn't keep his mouth shut and his feelings were hurt, he's got to run to Brooklyn and go play for the Nets. And if he thinks that media is going to be any kinder, I'm sorry, but he's absolutely mistaken. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Nicholas. Nick's in Norwich. Nick, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Pat, how's it going, bud?
Hey, Nick, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, I just like to get more on the focus of what we have now and not what we lost.
Sure.
I'd like to talk about how we went to the playoffs a year ago talking about how the Celtics could be the number one seed in the East and also how Brad Stevens could be coach of the year and how we've differed so far from that. But, I mean, why can't we give these guys more minutes? I mean, Scary Terry was averaging 22.5 points in the postseason, along with Jaylen Brown averaging 15 and 6 rebounds. Like, why can't we give these guys more minutes and just, I mean, ship off Kyrie Irving? And it is absolutely his fault, you know what I mean? So ship this guy off and give the young guys the talent they deserve and the minutes they deserve.
So that's interesting, and that's the optimism, right? That's the optimistic take right there. And it's one that we'll talk more about as the offseason goes along. But if you take Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, if they find a way to bring Rozier back, and then you take the fact that Gordon Hayward has been, you know, now back for a complete year, gets a full offseason of work under his belt, and he takes his next step in his progression, they should still be, I think, a 45-50 win team next year at a minimum, you know, if all those things happen. But now you're depending on young guys that took a step back this year with Kyrie Irving to make a leap forward next year. And we'll see if they're able to do that. If they are, the team's going to be okay. But one of those two guys, whether it's Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, is going to have to transform into more than just an all-star. They're going to have that sort of Paul Pierce jump that he had in his third and fourth year, where he became a legitimate superstar. That's what, you know, Jason Tatum is going to have to become if the nucleus of this franchise is going to be good enough to keep this team, you know, in that upper echelon of NBA teams.
Right, but isn't it kind of like the perfect, like, I mean, as far as we're talking like the nucleus and like the cell division, like, isn't it kind of perfect? You have Al Horford, you have Gordon Hayward, you have the experience, you have the young talent, the Jaylen Brown, the Scary Terry, and then you have the perfect Paul Pierce, the Jason Tatum of the next 13 years of the Celtics, right?
That, again, you know, the optimistic take is absolutely, and whether it's a guy like Rozier or a guy like Mike Conley, you know, a veteran free agent type of point guard, you know, you could absolutely fill the bench out with a guy like Isaiah Thomas. If he's got anything left, who knows? You've got enough money to do that. There is, you know, an optimistic path to get this team back to the conference finals in a best-case scenario. But they absolutely lost an asset. You don't have to like Kyrie Irving the player. You don't have to like Kyrie Irving the person. But at a minimum, Kyrie Irving the asset was better off with this franchise than without them. And when I say that, I mean, you know, if the Celtics had found a way, convinced him to come back and re-sign, what that means is you're not necessarily married to the guy for the next 3, 4, 5 years, however the length of his contract is. It means that you've got that tradable asset. You can trade him out and bring back a guy that's worth roughly the same money without breaking cap rules, without going over the cap. You lose that flexibility. You lose that ability when Kyrie Irving walks out the door. That's why, you know, when they've got this meeting this week, part of me still thinks that maybe, and it's never going to happen, but if there was a change of heart, would we be able to welcome him back into the fold, or is it simply too late? Because Kyrie hasn't come out and said, you know, I'm definitely not coming back. And the word today is that he's going to be meeting with Danny Ainge and the Celtics brass this week. You know, I think that's simply to break up in person and for both sides to come up with a story that they can sell to the media, because both sides are going to come out looking pretty bad in this scenario. They're going to come out looking pretty bad when Kyrie Irving leaves this franchise. The Celtics are going to look even worse than they've looked all week long. And Kyrie's going to look bad because, let's face it, he's going to come off as a jerk. He's going to come off as a disloyal player and a guy that went against his word with a franchise that built their franchise around him and built the future of their franchise around building around Kyrie Irving. So I feel like this meeting that the two sides are going to have this week is so they can craft a sellable story so guys like me don't get overly emotional when it comes to the decision-making of the Celtics and of Kyrie Irving. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I'll get to all your calls tonight. We still got a lot to get to right here on Sports Radio, WEI. It is late night right here on Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Plenty of room for you guys here tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Unpacking what's been a disappointing last 4 or 5 days for the Boston Celtics. What does it mean and who is to blame? You know, hopping on social media this morning, preparing for the show here tonight, I couldn't figure it out. There was a certain percentage of the fan base that was all over Danny Ainge, and again, another large percentage of the fan base that was all over Kyrie Irving. And I'm just having a hard time understanding why you get off on blaming and where you get off on blaming Danny Ainge for this, other than the fact that if you want to get on Danny for putting the keys to this franchise in an untrustworthy guy's hands, then absolutely, let's crush Danny for that, for not knowing the character of the man that he was placing the future of the franchise in. Because that's the sort of weight and size of magnitude that this decision has on the Boston Celtics' future. It's not just about Kyrie's future, right? And when Kyrie Irving told Danny Ainge, and by the way, before he told the season ticket holders in October at that green and white game, you know, with the microphone in his hands, sort of, you know, emotion taking over and him saying that he wanted to stick around here. You know, that's what most people that defend Kyrie Irving say. Okay, it was an emotional moment for him. His emotions got the best of him, and he sort of let something out that he shouldn't have said. Well, yeah, that's not entirely the case, because the night before he had his team over to his house for dinner, including Danny Ainge, including Brad Stevens, including Wick Grosbeck, including Rich Gotham, and you know, the ownership, the brain trust of the Celtics, as well as his teammates, that he told them then that he wanted to re-sign here, and he wanted to finish his career as a Boston Celtic. So what was Danny to do at that point except continue to build around the notion that Kyrie Irving was coming back? And if this guy can't take 1 year that went wrong, 1 year, one season that went wrong, and he wants to run away to another team, what's going to happen next when he goes to Brooklyn? Is he going to run away from there when things don't go as well? Because the similarity between the two franchises, by the way, is uncanny, right? Brooklyn was a nice team last year, 42-40, made the playoffs, a team that seemingly is on the upswing, lots of optimism around there, like there is here in Boston. What happens if Kyrie goes there and the team doesn't live up to their new lofty expectations? Is he going to demand the trade out of town as well? The problem is this, and part of this isn't Kyrie's fault, but Kyrie Irving grew up with LeBron James, and he wants that LeBron James treatment. He wants to be thought of as LeBron James. He wants to be treated as LeBron James. LeBron James is a difficult guy to root for, in my opinion. He comes with his flaws, but he is such a dominant force on the basketball court. You suck it up and you find a way to deal with it because he's LeBron James. And Kyrie wants that same treatment, and he's not LeBron James. And he proved that through his horrific stretch in the playoffs. LeBron would never have four consecutive games the way that Kyrie did. And you know, LeBron is not the type of guy, in my opinion, that would do what Kyrie did, where he would publicly make the mistake of coming out and saying that he was going to stick around here. Go ahead, build the team around me. And in his public meetings with Danny Ainge, or private meetings with Danny Ainge, he knew the future of this franchise was in his hands. He knew that this team was building towards having the needed assets and needed financial flexibility to acquire a guy like Anthony Davis. And Kyrie knows that the weight and magnitude of his decision, what that does to the Celtics' salary cap flexibility or lack thereof over the foreseeable future. So not only is he leaving for selfish reasons, his selfish reasons are going to decimate the Celtics financially over the short term here. Over the next 2 or 3 years, the Celtics will be feeling the effects of Kyrie Irving's selfish decision to leave town. And yet there's a group of fans that really doesn't care. They defend Kyrie Irving because they look at him as the victim in this situation, and I just can't wrap my head around that mentality. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's get back to the calls here. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Westfield. Paul, you're next up here on WEI.
Well, Gilroy, I'm glad you're back. Where have you been for weeks off on the Galloping Gourmet Lollipop Tour?
Yeah, you know, I was here 4 days last week, Paul, but it wasn't all late night. But yeah, and I'm going back on the tour tomorrow morning. I'm going to Nashville for a couple of days. So soak it up while you can here with me. I'm back on Thursday.
Yes, sir. Hey, Pat, I do have some good news. I want your opinion on the status of the finals. But before we get to that, is this a fair summary? We've got Kawhi Leonard, a one-year rental. We said, let's give it a shot. Nah, who cares? Well, how did that work out for them? Pretty damn good. And yep. The other part about Anthony Davis splitting, again, I feel you. I'm not sure anyone's to blame. I think he really just wants to play with LeBron and the Evil Empire because they can build something. And here's the other quirky part. Last year, without Hayward off day one and without Kyrie in the playoffs, an unknown group with no chance took LeBron and them to 7. And then this year, we pooped 4 games in a row, which it doesn't even make any sense, you know.
I know. When you add a player of Kyrie's magnitude, even if you eliminate Hayward from the equation because he was a shell of himself, you would think that just adding Kyrie to that team that won 55 games, went to Game 7 of the Conference Finals, you would think that your team would improve. But instead, Paul, they won 11 fewer games, only won 49, and they never found that cohesion. And now that we're starting to get, you know, a month plus removed from the season for the Celtics, we're starting to hear rumblings that Kyrie didn't even have a single friend on the roster. There was not one guy that he hung out with this season. Not one friend as a member of the Celtics. He completely alienated himself. And the word is because his ego couldn't take their success from the year before. He just couldn't take that success without him on the court. And that makes a lot of sense when you think back to how he refused to show up for that Game 7 that you brought up. And he elected to have an optional surgery scheduled for that day so he wouldn't have to be there in the Garden for Game 7 against the almighty LeBron James. You know, this guy, his head, there's something missing. He's not wired the way that you would want your franchise player to be wired.
Right, that's apparently what it looks like. So hold on. This is the good news. There's another player that's not Anthony Davis that we can bring in to form the triangle. And if you look at this finals, it had an odd quirk. The ebb and flow had a distinct quality of they just both teams would fall apart at key moments, go on complete crud runs where they couldn't buy a bucket from the oceanfront, and then they would come back and have a fluke play and win. I'm not completely sold on either team, and of course that's without Durant. So with Durant, did he bust his Achilles, or is it just a simple knee injury?
No, it's the Achilles.
Obviously, with Durant, they would have won.
So it's the Achilles, and unfortunately, the prognosis is he's going to be out for just about all of next year.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, crap. Okay, so why are they saying Kyrie's going to leave? He's one of the best ball handlers in the league. I understand we're mad at him. We don't like his Zen Buddha Eastern approach of I do no evil, hear no evil. But why are we having him walk the plank? Can't we get another good player, because it seems like Gordon Hayward's just not himself anymore.
But, Paul, that's the thing. It's Kyrie's decision to leave. He's a free agent. He had said that he wanted to stay, and he's changed his mind. He wants to leave. There's nothing the Celtics can do. Danny Ainge was willing to pull the trigger on a trade that would have sent Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, as well as a handful of draft picks out for 1 year of Anthony Davis to show Kyrie, hey, if you stick around, I'm going to get this guy for you. And Kyrie wouldn't even stick around for 1 year. He was unwilling to sign a one-year deal with the Celtics for a one-year experiment with Anthony Davis. He doesn't want to be here, Paul.
Wait, hold on. I don't have social media. I'm legally blind. There's no media in Braille. You're saying a month ago when he said he'll be back if you'll have him has changed to he wants to leave? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he wants to go. And it was a little more than a month ago. It was the beginning of the season, Paul, when he said that he wanted to be here. And then it was February 1st when he said, well, I'll talk again about this on July 1st when free agency begins. But now he wants to go. And all the reports are that he's ready to sign with the Nets when free agency opens up on July 1st. So he looks like he's as good as gone.
Okay, so we have an entirely shifting landscape. If Davis and LeBron can beat everyone up in the Western Conference, including Golden State, without Durant, then Houston's really going to probably look good. What's going on with Toronto's core? Are they the Kawhi Leonard like 26 and all them other guys are in their early 20s? Because they look like a young Chicago when they're together.
Yeah, so that team, I mean, they're not as young as they look. Kyle Lowry's been in the league for, 11 years now? He's 30-something. And believe it or not, I'll check the age, but I believe Kawhi's 27, 28 at this point. And he's in his prime, and he's potentially leaving as well. He's an unrestricted free agent, and he's been unwilling to commit to Toronto, Paul, even after they won the championship. You know, he's been asked about it ad nauseum over the last 48 hours. They had their parade today, and he's still going to go out there and test free agency, and the rumors are that he wants to play potentially in L.A. for the Clippers and Doc Rivers. We'll see if his Toronto experience is good enough to get him to come back. There's major disadvantages to max guys playing in Canada. And it's a big reason why the Grizzlies were forced to move from Vancouver to the United States. It's because the tax situation is just ridiculous, and it virtually cuts your salary in half. You know, if you're a max guy, that's a tremendous amount of money. And that's always been one of the reasons why Toronto and once upon a time Vancouver had a hard time recruiting and then maintaining these star-level players to stick around and spend their careers in Toronto or once upon a time in Vancouver with the former Grizzlies. Now, there is a scenario in play where Kawhi signs a one-on-one deal, where it's a one-year deal guarantee for next year and then an option for him to leave. So that way he gets to save face, come back for one more year in Toronto, try to repeat as champions, and still get out to L.A. before he turns 30 years old. That, I think, has got a higher likelihood than him just completely abandoning Toronto and leaving. Because if he does, that's going to leave that team high and dry as well. And Marc Gasol is closer to the end of his career. Kyle Lowry, he's a shell of himself offensively from what he used to be. Still a very good player, but not nearly the offensive impact player that he used to be. As he continues to get older, he's undersized, a little bit thicker, not freakishly athletic, still a great, great player. A huge key contributor to the finals, but not nearly the guy that he was offensively just a few years ago. So that Toronto team completely hinges on the decision of Kawhi Leonard. But if he leaves, it was still worth it. They got a championship out of it, and I think that's the more important point here when it comes to the decision-making process and when it comes to bringing in these guys that have got 1 year left on their deal who potentially don't want to stick around. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab one more before the break. Let's go to Andre. Andre's on the Cape. Andre, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Contrary to many reports of the Empire's collapse, I think the Celtics are in very good position, and I think Danny Ainge did a great job not chomping at the bit on this Anthony Davis business, guy who doesn't want to be here, not going to be committed. We already see how that works out with Mr. Kyrie Irving. So, again, Danny's number one objective, we need a sign and trade so we can access that $20 million. I mean, obviously, people that care about basketball, care about good basketball, are happy to see Mr. Kyrie Irving go. I've already offered, to pay for his Lyft, his Uber, whatever he needs, because he's not a winner. He's never won without LeBron. He was terrible early on in his career in Cleveland. He didn't want to come up under LeBron's leadership. We've already gone there. But what I want to hit on is the Celtics can make the Eastern Conference Finals next year, and I think they're going to. People seem to have forgotten that Kawhi Leonard bought a $13 million house in San Diego. And I don't think he's going to use that as an Airbnb, okay? So Kawhi Leonard's almost definitely going to the Clippers, Steve Ballmer being the richest owner in sports, Jerry West being the best executive in sports, and Doc Rivers being a good coach. And all of his actions, you know. So Kawhi Leonard, let's just say he goes to the Clippers on a hunch. Milwaukee, are they ready for prime time? You win the first two games at home and then you lose four straight? Obviously they're not, even though we like what Pat Connaughton is doing, Massachusetts guy. Milwaukee, no overwhelming favorite, even next year. Philadelphia, is Jimmy Butler going to stay? I think not. Reports have him leaning towards Houston, possibly L.A., a number of other different places. So their big four is going to become a big three. Is Joel Embiid ever going to be healthy? And then you have the Celtics. But, again, Indiana, Oladipo coming back after missing time. We saw that with Gordon Hayward. It's going to take some time. So then we look at the Eastern Conference wide open, and you have a team with talented young guys who are going to be all-stars, i.e. Mr. Tatum and also Mr. Jaylen Brown in that conversation. Terry Rozier, he's going to have a bigger role. All of this animus that he has towards the team now, if he has a bigger role, that could possibly go away. Al Horford says he's willing to sign a team-friendly extension. Okay, and the money that you will have if Danny can seal this deal for all of the green teamers out there and get a sign and trade, that $20 million to bring in another veteran asset that could be out there in the market. He already struck gold with a guy like an Aaron Baines. We know that he and Brad Stevens know how to find talent. Also, Mr. The Time Lord is going to make an evolution next year. You have a hardworking, talented team in an Eastern Conference that's wide open.
I will say this, Andre. These guys will have a chip on their shoulder as well next year. They'll be eager to prove everybody wrong. And, you know, that's what we love so much about the Celtics from 2 years ago when Hayward went down. And then eventually when Irving went down, it was that chip on their shoulder because everybody sort of sold the Celtics out at that point and said, okay, no chance. These guys all elevated their play, elevated their games in an effort to shut everybody up. And you're going to get that same impact next year. And I feel like there's going to be this air of freedom on the court next year for these guys as well, without Kyrie there sucking the air out of the room.
Exactly. Just like the people are expecting the Steelers to bounce back after all of this Antonio Brown nonsense that went on, and guys really eager to show, you know, that you counted us out. That's going to be exactly the same thing with the Celtics, particularly guys like Gordon Hayward, who I think, but also people forget that Jason Tatum dunked all over LeBron James last year, okay, in game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. People are acting just because this year he kind of got swallowed up in all this drama that he doesn't have, you know, all-star, all-NBA talent when he's put in a position to succeed with guys that are playing together like they did this year when Kyrie happened to be out. And that's what you're going to see from him next year. And again, this Eastern Conference, people, it's wide open based on what the tea leaves are indicating in terms of how the cookie is going to crumble. Now, okay, Kyrie going to Brooklyn, I wish him well, so on and forth. But even if he does go to Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, that's still 2 years away from factoring out.
Yeah, Durant's not going to play next year.
So the East, right there for the Celtics, that's my overarching point. I think Danny Ainge was very shrewd, you know, in terms of talking about wanting Anthony Davis just to keep the Celtics in the headlines, but not going after somebody who is not committed to this city, not committed to the process. And then what you have here, I'm just tired of people sleeping on or disregarding top three picks. We have two of them, proven lottery picks. That's Terry Rozier. All NBA defensive players, that's Marcus Smart. And then a bunch of other strong role players. Again, Toronto, you have one all-star, and now people whose name you know Spicy P, okay, you know Van Fleet, but you didn't know who they were before this playoff started, okay? That's cultivated. That's growing from within, okay? And now but the Celtics have all the same those opportunities, and I hope that's the – and it seems that's the way they're going to go. I hope that's the way they're going to go, and they'll be very successful. Stars don't win in any professional sport. Stars who buy in win.
Andre, great stuff. I like that saying, too. Stars don't win, but stars that buy in win. I'm going to steal that. I'm not going to steal it tonight because it's too new. But in a week or two, when you hear me repeat that, Andre, you can sort of say, that's mine. Gilroy, don't steal it. But I'm absolutely going to make that line mine at some point in the near future. So it is Sports Radio WEI. Couple hours down, 1 hour to go right here on Sports Radio WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.